And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Aaron Karpus. He is the Director of Development and Communications for Big Brothers Big Sisters Delaware. And welcome, Aaron.
Hey, Laura, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you because this is a fabulous organization, but for anyone who may not be acquainted with it, I can't believe that at this point, but can you give us that quick mission statement about what is Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Sure, Laura. You know, people know our brand, right? We're Big Brothers Big Sisters. We've been here a long time. We've been in the state of Delaware for over 58 years now. We really focus on children and one-on-one mentoring. We match bigs and littles together. That's the mentor and the child. And we support that relationship and really help young people in the state of Delaware.
Who are the kids that get involved with Big Brothers, Big Sisters?
Come from all different parts of the state, all different emotional states, all different physical states. It's a wide range of kids who may need some help. We are advocates and we are defenders of potential. So it could be a guidance counselor, it could be a parent, it could be another institution that contacts us and says, hey, here's Johnny who may need some help. And we do our best to help by matching them with a big. And as the interview goes on, we can talk a little bit more about what that process is. But we are here to defend their potential of the youth in our state.
I think most of us maybe have the concept or the misconception that it's kids that don't have a parent in the picture. A little boy who is missing a father, a little girl who does not have a mother figure. But that's not always the case, is it?
No, it's really not. It could be the case. You know, a lot of ours are single parent. Parents, one parent or both parents are incarcerated. There's lots of different circumstances, but we do have quite a few that do have two parents in the household. That's not necessarily saying that they don't need a male mentor. There's all kinds of circumstances that they can get brought up in a child's life where he could use a hand. He can use some guidance. He or she can use some guidance. And it really comes in. We do a really good job in our program of matching those bigs with the littles and their interests and what they need emotionally.
You mentioned already that it might come through a guidance counselor or maybe a teacher might say that, you know, approach you. But how do most kids get to you? Do parents call up and say, hey, I really think that I'm not spending enough time or I can't spend enough time, or we need a male influence in the home?
Yeah, you know, most of the time right now during this pandemic, it's been parents reaching out to us directly. With the pandemic, we are not able to be in the schools. We normally go to before and after school programs as well as lunchtime. However, with that relationship off a little bit right now because we can't meet in person in the schools, you know, a lot of that's been virtual. So we have had a lot of parents contacting us directly in the past. You're right, though. It has been guidance counselors and school officials. But now it's really coming from parents saying, hey, tell me a little bit more about this. And that can be done through our website. And that's probably the best way to do it. And our caseworker would get in touch and we start the process.
Oh, you mentioned your caseworker. What do you do? I mean, when the child comes in through the door, we're going to talk about the bigs. They're littles and bigs. We'll talk about the bigs later on. But when a little comes through the door, do you assess the kid's need? How do you do the intake into the program?
Yeah, I mean, littles are anywhere from 6 to 18 years of old, and they come from various different backgrounds, neighborhoods, schools, like I said. We look at everything. Our caseworkers do a great job. They've been doing this a long time, and this is a proven model with results. We're a very data-driven organization, and we look at their background. We look at the youth. We look at their personalities. Each are unique. We look at, you know, maybe some things are struggling on in school, maybe some things that are going on in the home life that's a little bit different, a little bit not the norm, right? So they do a real good job of assessing what youth should qualify for the program, and then the process of matching with bigs, which you say we can touch on in a little bit.
You mentioned schoolwork and results. Mm-hmm. Is there a goal ultimately in this process in matching up bigs and littles? Is there some magic result that will happen at the end of the relationship?
No. That's a very quick answer. It's no. Everyone is different. Every relationship is different. All of our outcomes could be different and success be different for different kids. All kids can go through something different. Relationships can go on from a year to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, right? It all depends what that child, what that big need in their relationship to get the goals that they really want to accomplish.
Do you match brothers and sisters or brothers maybe together? Or is this always a one-on-one relationship that you're fostering?
Depends. We do our best to get siblings in the program as well. A lot of times they're facing some of the same struggles as the other sibling is. So sometimes we'll ask a mentor, a big, to take on another sibling. And most of the time that happens. But there are times that we have one little who's in the program, and one who's on the waiting list.
Oh, you said the waiting list. This is something that we're going to touch on, I know. But
sure.
Almost every organization it has been struggling trying to get volunteers and getting people involved in this. And I hate to ask, but is this the same issue with you?
Yes, it definitely is. We always have far more kids needing a mentor than we have mentors available. Most of our kids who need the support are our youth who are African-American. And we do not have a lot of African-American adult males who are offering to be bigs as well. So there's all these different kinds of things. And there could be kids on the waiting list for upwards to a year. Now, that does not mean they're not engaged. We do group programs. We try to get those kids on a waiting list engaged in the program. But to match them one-on-one can be a little bit difficult sometimes. So there's always going to be a waiting list. And again, the match is always based on interests and personalities and what they're going through. And if we don't have a big that matches that, instead of just making a match, we won't do it. We will wait to make sure it would be successful.
What are you looking for in a match? Because you alluded to race just a moment ago.
Sure.
And also gender. Do you ever match a little brother with, say, a big sister? Or maybe it is a little sister who needs to have a big brother in her life. How do you make these matches?
It all depends. I mean, race could be a factor. Gender could be a factor. It's whatever the child, you know, is kind of going through and looking for some self-identity. The parents normally help us out with that about, you know, kind of which way or that way. Yes, could that happen with a little sister and a big brother? Yeah, sure, it could happen. You know, all kids are struggling with different kinds of things. Gender identity is definitely something that we are looking at, and we are trying to help as much as we can by pairing a mentor who's an advocate for that as well in their relationship to, you know, help that little, again, I keep going back to it, is reaching their potential. So whatever way that we can do it to make it work, we will do it.
And so let's get started with the process then.
Okay.
When I've called you up and I have a son, he gets into the program, and you talk to him, you find out that maybe he's not doing well in school, or maybe he doesn't do well in social situations, and he needs an influence, he needs a mentor. That's what we're really calling them, aren't you? The bigs are mentors.
Absolutely.
They're not really pals or surrogate parents. They're mentors.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There's a major difference.
And let's talk a little bit about that difference then, because
sure.
that's part of recruiting people in to become bigs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, bigs want to do stuff that they're good at as well, and some things that they enjoy. So if it's a sports team that the little likes, we'll match them up based on some of their similar interests, whether it being sports. We have a sports buddies program. We have all these different programs to engage kids and mentors together. So if you're new to the program, you go through all these different assessments. You get signed a caseworker. We go through your likes, your dislikes, what you're struggling with, what you hope to accomplish. And we do set up individual goals for the kids. The second part of that, again, is what I know we'll get to, is the bigs. And it's not just take a, you know, where am I in a waiting list? I'm number four. And then you take the next mentor who's number four and you just match them. It's if it was that simple, yeah, it would be nice, but it doesn't work that way. It's got to be based on a lot of different characteristics that make the match work. And that can be a whole range of different type of things.
How do you make the match? Is it on paperwork, like computer dating, or is it like a social circle and everybody's in the room and you kind of gravitate towards somebody? How do you do that introduction, like a cat to a dog in the family, you know?
It's both of what you just said. Yeah, we are very data driven, as I said earlier. You know, we look at the data with kids, what they're struggling with. We talk to guidance counselors, teachers, principals. We talk to any social workers they may have, or aunts, uncles. We do a lot of references. We do a lot of checks with the little and the big, right? Mm-hmm. So we kind of find out where they're needing to go and the big that's going to help them get there.
And then what?
Then after they go through the lengthy process, so the bigs need to go through numerous trainings on safety, background checks, FBI fingerprints, you name it. They go through all those checks. We make the match happen. Now they would follow a curriculum that we put forth that the big would know about, that would need to follow with, and they would have sometimes weekly phone calls with the caseworker to go over some progress. In the progress, there's weekly steps and improvement we look for to make sure the relationship is working for both the little, the big, and the parent or the guardian in the situation.
All right. I'm going to keep going back to this, though. So it's a blind date. You put these two together and you say hi and introduce each other. And then, but do you do it at one of these group programs that you have, or where they get to, you know, be with other people and walk around a little bit, or find out that they do have common interests?
Yeah. You know, in a group would be great. Right now, there's not much group setting type stuff. It's more of the individual getting to know the kid, getting to know the big, and making it work. So is it like the blind dating online stuff, right? To a point, yes, but there's a little bit more research that goes into it before we pair the two together. It's not just a checklist. It's really talking to the child. It's talking to the mentor. It's going over the program. It's going and talking to the parent a little more extensively about, again, the struggles that are happening and the likes and dislikes, right? So it's a very educated guess that this relationship would work. And then similar to the dating thing, we pair them together and we watch and, you know, try to help that relationship along.
Do parents and bigs interact? Do they, you know, compare notes or is this a special relationship where this is a trusted individual that's outside of the family unit?
Yeah, there's some trust there, but open communication is part of trust. You're going to trust but verify. The parents are involved. The parent needs to be involved. The big will constantly talk to the parent, and they'll give each other updates that maybe is between them. There's really no secrets here. A mentor is someone they can talk to and open up with, but it's not a relationship where they're just telling some secrets to the big and not communicating to the parent. It takes everybody. You know, a lot of things of what we say at Big Brothers, Big Sisters is it takes a village. It's going to take the school, it's going to take the community, and it's going to take the parents and a mentor to get this thing headed in the right direction.
Oh, hey, if you're just joining us, we're past the halfway mark. If you're just joining us, this is Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with me today, Aaron Karpus. He is the Director of Development and Communications for Big Brothers Big Sisters Delaware. And if you'd like to reach out to them, maybe you've got a kid, maybe you have the time and the initiative, and you want to do something for a vulnerable kid, reach out to them, BBBSDE. That's Big Brothers Big Sisters Delaware, BBBSDE.org. That easy. All the information is right there. You mentioned a checklist. So I've signed up and I have gone through the rigorous training. I understand the safety aspects. I've passed all of the security measures that are taken. And you've looked at my interests and what I'm good at doing and my time available. And we're going to get into that too. And you say you would be a great match for little Johnny here. And you tell me what are my goals when we get together?
Again, it's
different with every kid.
It is. It really is, Laura. It is different. It's whatever the child's going through. It may be a social issue where they have trouble speaking up. Again, it could be a parent who's incarcerated. So you have some, you know, some holes at home that they need to mend through and get through and make progress and have some other relationships with both their mentor and peers and their parents, right? So again, the steps, every case is different, but it is something that we watch, we monitor, and we guide the best that we can. And we'll also give them plenty of activities to do together. Again, if they're into sports, see if we can get Eagles tickets or, you know, the Flyers or, you know, the Blue Rocks or something like that. It could be something local. It could be in the arts. It could be the movies. It could be going for a slice of pizza. It's a matter of wherever the relationship goes, it goes, similar to that online dating, right? Depending on what their interests are. A lot of times they're free of cost. It could just be going to a park and chatting or throwing the ball around and having a catch or shooting hoops, right? Again, it all depends and it's all based on what the child needs at that moment, which could change.
Well, I was about to ask you about the cost and the time involved here. You had mentioned a year. Is that the commitment that you're looking for? A first year commitment and then keep going if you wish?
Yeah, you know, we would like at least a year. You know, it does take time. There's going to be a feeling. There's, you know, we go through the whole process of what we talked about meeting and kind of going through that icebreaker session with your big and kind of getting to know the relationship. So that's going to take 2 or 3 months really to get to know the child and the child to feel comfortable and vice versa. So about a year is when you start to really bond as a relationship. And sometimes it doesn't work, and that's okay. Right. But when it does work, when I say a year, it doesn't feel like a year. It starts flying by because you build this lifelong relationship with this child that you see them reach their potential. It is the most gratifying thing you could ever go through as a mentor.
How much does one expect to spend on this? Now, you mentioned that some bigs going out for pizza, and you do have group activities that they can participate mm-hmm. in. But is it, could somebody just be someone who meets over a chessboard once a week, or they go to a library or free performances?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of our bigs don't spend much money at all. We have relationships with restaurants. We have relationships with the movies and you name it, where we can get some comp stuff that they're so generous to help us with. But like I said, going to the park, playing chess, going to the library and hanging out and chatting and looking something up you name it, video games, whatever it is. But there's so many things that you can do that are publicly available that don't require any funds. Yes, some do spend some money, but that's, again, not a requirement in any way. We have tons of stuff and suggestions for the matches to do that does not require a lot of funds.
I swore I was not going to bring up the old ACE line here, where a childhood trauma and a caring adult can heal. It adds to the good bucket versus the adverse conditions that a child faces. Mm-hmm. We talked a little bit about mentorship there and then the caring adult in a child's life. What is the emotional investment one needs to spend? Or what, when we talked about being a mentor to a child, there was a question in there somewhere. But do you kind of get where I'm asking this?
Yeah, I do. It's you know, how do I describe it? Yes, it becomes emotional. Okay. I would say it has to become emotional for both parties because they rely on each other and the whole thing is trust. And through our program at Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Delaware, really it's we guide the relationship where they trust each other. And when soon as you have trust, your communication is going to open up from there, right? So again, everybody is different. But for a big, when you get to that year mark, the trust you're going to have and the relationship you're going to have with that child is going to be emotional. It will be. You're going to have a vested interest. And there could be times on a Wednesday that Johnny's got a tough day in school that he just calls up the big. Said, hey, I just need to talk. Okay, let's talk. And they talk for 10 minutes. And I think that's, I know, me growing up, I had mentors, right? And Laura, I'm sure you did as well. That's just, but a lot of us don't have that. And we don't realize how important it is until I think a little bit later in life. So to have that person to reach out to when you're not sure where to go, when it goes to making a right or a left or a good decision, or maybe not such a great decision, just to make that phone call is really crucial. And that's what we try to build, that relationship well, where, hey, should I go this way or that way? Maybe let's make a call or ask our mentor, right? Have that trust relationship. You go down the other road, then, it could be there again, the defenders of potential. These kids have tons of potential and we're there to nurture them. So I would say, as you probably hear from me talking, it does get emotional.
Is it as simple as phone calls? And how many times a week do you try to meet?
All depends. We like to get a meeting once a week. And as the relationship progresses, schedules change. You got a music appointment, you got a doctor's appointment, whatever. Things change, right? During virtual, it's always had a list of complications there. So sometimes it's once a month. But normally about once a week. But again, it's different. So if you need to make a phone call because you're in a situation, then you make the phone call, right? So it could be 5 times a week, It could be one time a week, could be zero times a week. It depends where they are in the relationship and the level of communication and trust they have.
Well, you said 6 to 18 for the kids. What about for the bigs, the big sisters, the big brothers? Do you have age restrictions on that? And what about backgrounds? Do you look for people who are currently employed? Could a retiree or could a student? At what age can one join the programming?
Yeah, I mean, for our school-based, community-based programs, we look for about 21 and older. Obviously, seniors are very encouraged to join us. We have a great need for seniors as well to get involved. You do not need to be working. You can be retired. Everybody comes from different forms of life, right? Sometimes you need a driver's license. Sometimes you don't, depending on where we are in the state. If we can rely on some public transportation or just meeting people when the bigs and littles at different locations and they have transportation, great. Sometimes maybe a little bit more rural in that Dover area, then maybe a car is necessary. So it all really depends. We don't accept all volunteers. They go through a rigorous training and background check, like I've said earlier. So we want to make sure there's a safe environment as well. So you go through the steps. We would love to have volunteers on board and working with our kids.
How long does it take, the process for a big? If somebody hears this and they go, I would like to do this, maybe I want to do it this summer, or maybe they're ready to do it as soon as they can get in there.
Yeah, my recommendation would be about a month out, I would start the process. Let us know you're interested. That way we can do the proper paperwork, have our time, make sure the match is right, and go on from there. So I would give it about a month. We can probably do it a little bit quicker than that, depending on the needs, supply and demand, right? But if you're planning ahead, I would give it about 30 days to start the process.
Okay, because you've got a background check and you've got to do all of that. But then what about that training? Can you come and shadow? Can you come and attend your programs and see how other bigs do it? Well, actually, do you put bigs together to talk about their successes as a support group?
Yeah, there's all kinds of different resources that we'll make available to you. Again, being virtual now, a little more so than the past, obviously, we will match people up. We'll have some mentors for the mentors to get involved with. We have community forums. We have all kinds of groups and resources for them to use to start to get involved in the program and kind of start planning. But again, our caseworkers work with them on an individual basis. So they'll go through, hey, here's what Johnny is going through. Here are some suggestions on some steps to get to our ultimate goal.
And a kid turns 18, the relationship could continue on, couldn't it? Mentorship
sure.
is forever.
We have plenty of relationships that went through college and they have children of their own and great, great success stories. So yeah, technically, I guess it's over at 18, but the relationship would definitely, most of the time, continues.
What about a big who has lots of time? Do bigs sometimes have other, how many children can one big, how many littles can one big work with or mentor?
They could have multiple in certain cases. We like to keep the relationships, it's one-on-one, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no overlap there. But yeah, can they have more? Yes, they can have more. That becomes a little difficult with the emotional investment that you have there. But if you have the free time and you want to give, then we are all about it.
And obviously there could be twins, or it could be a couple
sure.
of kids in the same family that maybe have the same needs and the same desires and interests.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. And we do our best to match those together. Right.
Well, you've been Big Brothers, Big Sisters Delaware has been around for 58 years.
Correct. Yeah.
You got some old timers in there.
Yeah, we've had people here for a long, long time. We do our bigs of the year. We have awards. We have people that have had multiple littles over the years. It's an absolute fantastic organization that really helps people. And again, if you think about yourself as a child, we all had that mentor. Now take that mentor out of your life. It could be a little bit tough. And we've seen the results of our work, where again, if they have a decision to make, sometimes a member could be that nudge that puts these kids on the right track. And, if we think about it, what could this world, what could this state be if we help these kids reach their potential?
What about now fundraising? You got to do events. Yeah. And you did mention that you have different kinds of programming. So there are events where bigs and littles are attending at the same time. Do you ever do events that for, you know, just recruitment purposes? And how do we get involved with you?
Yeah. So easiest way to get involved is just go into the website. We have social media out there, Facebook, all the expected social media channels. But go to our website. That's how you get involved. But, you know, prior to the pandemic, again, we've had a lot of group meetings. We've had community park days where people get together. You know, we're trying to do a little bit more with visibility in the community to know that we're here. We have volunteer opportunities. And again, we have a waiting list. So we're trying to get as much people involved as we can. So, but I would say really the website is the way to go.
Okay. You know what? 2-minute warning. Take us home. Talk up Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Delaware.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been here a couple months now with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and I am thoroughly impressed on the work that they do. I have the honor about speaking about it. Mentors are so needed right now, especially in our state. And what we're looking at, we have need from all the way from the Wilmington all the way down to Rehoboth. There are kids spread out everywhere. Virtual has been tough. We've had to cancel a lot of our fundraising events, our golf tournaments. We've had a bowling event we've had for years and years. We had to cancel that for 2 years. So fundraising has been down, quite honestly. So we're hoping to get back into person. Hopefully that changes a little bit with some events coming up here, but all in all, we need the community support. Community knows what we do. It takes care of itself. Because I really think what we do with this one-on-one mentoring helps so many kids in our state. And the more people we can tell about it, the better.
And you are from top to bottom, side to side. You cover the entire state of Delaware.
We do. We do. So again, if you have a little that may need some guidance here and there, again, doesn't need to be a single parent home. It could be all different circumstances. Give us a call. Go to our website. We'd love to talk to you and see how we can help your child.
Or if I'm a potential big brother or a big sister and I am interested, I have the time, I have the inclination, and I think that I have something to offer a vulnerable child here in the state of Delaware, I go to that website as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, we really need mentors right now. We always have a waiting list, so the more mentors we have, the better, and the whole benefit to the community.
And, of course, that website, real easy to find, bbbsde.org, bbbsde.org for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Delaware. Go there for everything we discussed today. You'll find a lot of information there. And, of course, any upcoming events and fundraisers, now that you're going finally back to live events and gatherings. So find it all, bbbsde.org. My guest today, Aaron Karpus, he is the Director of Development and Communications for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Delaware. And, Aaron, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Laura. This has been great. I hope I answered all of your questions. And again, go to our website, bbsde.org, and we'd love to have you involved in our organization.
Aaron Karpus, he is the Director of Development and Communications for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Delaware. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.